Mr. Sherry a real six. In his role as president of the Mechanization Board, how influential, how dominant a personality was he?
Well, I think it would be best to say that he was predominant. And he handled major projects himself, seeking the assistance of his officers where he felt it was necessary. But a good deal of the he carried a good deal of the work of the board on his own shoulders. Mm.
In your experience, was his predominance on the committee always to the advantage of the committee's work?
No, I don't think so, because he would always listen to the views of other men, even if they differed from his own opinions. And so I don't think that any effort or advice or knowledge was ever missed or lost.
You described the board as a mechanical hat peg. What did you mean by that?
Well, it was a place where to which everybody came. Every problem came when there wasn't a solution to it elsewhere, which I think is probably a natural thing.
So it was essentially a problem-solving committee.
Yes, it was a problem-solving consultancy, really.
Mm. Now, could you give me a bit of detail about some of the specific problems you were asked to solve, just to illustrate this point and bring it out a bit more?
Well, I'm afraid I can't, at this length of time, recall anything which was outstanding, such outstanding importance as to merit a special comment.
How did the Churchill tank come to receive your attention?
Well, the director of mechanization was looking around at that time for the manufacture of another heavy infantry tank. The director at that time was Colonel Davidson, a sapper, and he'd been collected with mechanical transport since the South African War. Well, he had knowledge of or associations with some folk in Holland and Wolfe's at Belfast, and they at that time were in process of developing a high-speed diesel engine, which it was thought would make a very good tank engine. And he gave the board a mandate to see what Holland and Wolfe could do. Our investigations proved then that the engine could not be developed in time to make it a successful tank engine. And with the rearmament of the country becoming urgent, the whole design was transferred to Vauxhall Motors, who undertook to design and produce a new engine and to parent the whole machine, which they did very successfully in the end.
You've mentioned the Matilda and the Churchill as two projects the board were concerned with while you were its secretary.
Yes.
Were there any others which you can recall?
No, at that time, Martel, later in the time of my time at the board, Martel had introduced the Christie tank, which was this big-wheeled suspension machine, and the translation to an anglicised design was entrusted to Morris Commercial Cars at Washwood Heath in Birmingham. And the board then had some interest in the oversight of the work done there by the Morris Commercial Cars designers.
There must have been an enormous expansion in your interests during the later 30s as the rearmament program was increasingly geared up.
Yes.
And as more and newer civilian manufacturers became involved in the tank production business.
Yes.
Did that increase in activity substantially influence the work of the board, either qualitatively or quantitatively?
I think it increased the amount of consultancy work we carried out. And relieved us we were relieved of any design load which we formerly carried by contractors who had chosen to parent new designs.
Did the new manufacturers who were being brought into the tank design business during this period always seem suitably qualified to carry out this kind of work?
Well, the motor car companies, such as Morris Commercial and Vauxhall, were, of course, accustomed to quantity production and to designing to that end. Therefore, they had considerable success. The locomotive builders and the heavier engineering people, with the exception of Vickers, did their work more or less on a one-off basis, and their drawings, for instance, were not as extensively detailed as those of the motor car people, and a lot was left to the folk in the shops to interpret the design in their own way, so that sometimes, for instance, the Matilda design, which was made by two locomotive works, Falcon Foundry as the parents, and North British Locomotive Company as the satellite, they don't always come out quite the same.
The case of the motor car manufacturers interests me particularly. I was curious as to the extent to which motor manufacturer was analogous with tank manufacturer, and if it was not altogether analogous, what kind of problems that created?
Well, the motor manufacturer was very good with all running gear, electrical gear and such like. That was no problem to him. But of course, the handling of armour plate and heavy structures, and manufacture of fire control gear and such like, were novelties for him.
Would tank engine design also not have been a novelty to him?
Well, we used commercial engines up to a point, but when they were not suitable. Of course, the only other field really open to us was the aero engine complex. And They were a very adaptable people, and as I told you, Rolls-Royce turned the Merlin engine into a tank engine in a very short space of time.
Well, in 1938, you ceased to be secretary of the board and were elevated to full membership
Yes.
of it, which must have given you a rather different kind of role. What kind of projects did you personally have responsibility for during that period?
Well, I took on the, for instance, the re-engineering of Matilda, original engines were not altogether satisfactory from the point of view of reliability, and I was entrusted with a project in conjunction with the Leyland Motor Company to re-engine the thing with twin Leyland engines, which in the later editions of the tank were more successful than the original power plant. Well, then, another job I had to tackle with some urgency was the problem of this steering of tanks, and in conjunction with Major Wilson and the self-changing gear company, we evolved a two-speed steering gear, which was made in quantity for Crusader and one other mark of tank.
Covenanter.
But that in its turn was succeeded by the Merritt Brown transmission designed for Churchill, which ultimately proved to be a very fine transmission indeed, and overcame practically all our troubles of bygone days.
Hmm. How did you deal with the steering problem?
Well, I tell you, H.E. Merritt, who was originally David Brown's chief engineer, came to the tank design department. He was a bit of a nomad, and he went from place to place. He used time as a consultant on his own. Well, he came to the tank design department, and whilst he was there, he looked into the question of tank steering, and he did it very scientifically, and devised this Merritt Brown transmission, which gave positive and definite steering, and was very easily manufactured. So, in the end, of course, it was in competition against the Wilson two-speed steering, and its superiority was proved, and it was adopted for every other mark of tank subsequent to Churchill.
Merritt was M-E-R-R-I-T?
No, M-E-R-R... Wait a minute, M-E-R-R... Yes, yeah, M-E-R-R-I-T. That's right, he wasn't the other one.
Good.